So we're on chapter 29, tough test. What page do you have?
184.
Dwight Eisenhower once said, I forgot the quote. Dwight Eisenhower once said, what did I say?
184.
I think he said, he was talking about military momentum. He said, military advantage is gained through winning. Right? You want to think you're strong? You think you're going to win? You win, and then you get stronger. Right? You lose the hockey game? The next time you wonder, you doubt.
Right.
It's all psychology. When you suffer defeats, you begin to doubt. So the question really is, how do you gain military strength? How do you have military strength when you lose, when you're suffering? And we'll see. Now, we were studying about Shaul on that fateful eve. Right? What happens to Shaul on that fateful eve when he goes to visit Baalat Ov, the necromancerette. Right, the necromancer lady, okay? He finds out he's going to die. Now, the Navi shifts suddenly and takes us back to David. So it's a very interesting, dramatic device, as it were, that we were talking about Shaul, and instead of telling us the stories one after the other, we're shifting. We're going to shift back to David, and we're going to go back to Shaul. What's happening in between? There's a very, very logical and very specific reason why all of this shift takes place. So we're going to do actually two prakim today, because we did one the last 2 weeks. Vayikbetzu plishtim et kol machanehem apeka. So the plishtim gathered all of their camps to afek. Okay?
Where is
it? Chatzet.
No, 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 afek.
Look on your sheet. Okay?
Amen.
Right, so now we're going back, because before we already know that they gathered all their troops at Ein Dor.
Right.
But no. I've got more sheets here. You want more?
I've
got more. You need more, Sarah?
I think I need the math.
Okay. Okay. Now this is this week. Yeah, that's is that last week's? Okay, I don't know. Okay, no. So you see where Afek is? They started Gath, they started Azza, they started Ashkelon. Okay, just for your own information, where is David? Anybody remember what city David is in? Anyone? Ziklag. Right, very good. Where is Ziklag?
It's in the south.
What?
In the south.
South, where?
In the Plishtim.
South of Azza, correct. If you look, it's Ziklag is, 1 second. Is it south of Azza?
Yeah, south of Gat.
South of Gat. It's not on our map.
Azza is below Ashkelon, so you're further down.
Where is it?
No, it's not. See, look on the next page, on the map on the next page. See where Be'er Sheva is? Mm-hmm. Actually, it is south of this. It's south of Azza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It would probably be somewhere near where the corner, you know, where the end of the corner of the box is on the front page.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's where David is. David is in Ziklag. Okay? David has created his own little stronghold in Ziklag. But you took one page? Take them all.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of four pages over.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they'll go up to Afek.
Yeah.
Afek, I guess, is their military. It's their gathering point. Anybody see anybody see the three towers, the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
You're just not a movie guy.
Pretty much.
Nobody else saw Lord of the Rings, the last one?
Sure.
Right?
You saw.
You know, first of all, there's a great scene in Lord of the Rings. Probably my favorite scene in all of them.
I didn't bring it to so.
Are you being serious or sarcastic?
A little
bit. The last movie.
Not really, because you couldn't hear it, but okay. No, there's a great scene. There's a very famous Gemara about how they used to tell people about the Rosh Chodesh. When the Reis Hamikdash was the Rosh Chodesh, right, so they used to tell people. How do they tell people? Do you remember?
Lighting
mountains, bonfires. So in this movie, there's a brilliant scene about how they contacted one another to call for help with this exact thing. And it was literally like, you know, when you learn about something and you see it on the screen, it jumped out to me. Yeah, but all right, I'll show that to you maybe next time or maybe not. But there's another scene where they're all gathering for battle. And what they do is, you know, you can't all tell them to go right to the battlefield. You have to have a rallying point.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, okay, everybody rally, and then we're going to go straight. So, and that's exactly what the Plishtim do here. That's what they had. They had a rallying point, and then the army would form, and then they would go off to the battlefield. That's an afek. V'Yisrael chonim ba'ayin asher v'Yisrael. Okay? So the Jewish people encamped in Yisrael. So they already know that there's going to be a battle. Okay? And it seems that I don't know, there must have been something that sparked it. There's always something that sparks it. You know, something went on in Israel, and the Plishtim called for help, and all the Plishti, you know, colonies, the Plishtim aren't really one nation. The Plishtim are really city-states. Right? They're just, you know, what's the word for it? Feudal estates, I would call it.
Israel.
You know, little towns. Where's Israel?
It's in that little box.
See Israel, the bottom of the box? The bottom of the little box at the top. Okay. The Sarnay Plishtim Ovrim Lemeot.
It's right here.
What, Israel? Yeah, Israel, look at the top box. Look at the top, the little box in the top. Right, they're going to go all the way to Ein Dor, and Israel, Ein Dor and Israel are close enough to each other that they can then go and try to kill each other. Okay? Yeah, I mean, it is very interesting to note that, you know, how do they have a battle? They have like it's a play. You know, everybody has their role, and everybody knows. Okay, you set up, if you're in Israel, then we're going to go across the mountain to the other place. And then you're going to set up your camp, and we're going to set up our camp. And nobody ever cheated, it seems. I mean, you know, like, they all had to have their roles. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Plishti Sarnim are nobles, I think. Right? How do they translate it in the scroll?
Governors,
nobles. They came with their hundreds and their thousands. The David va'anashav ovrim ba'acharona im Achish. And who's coming with Achish, with the king? David and his merry men, and the 600 men. Right? Why is David coming with Achish? To fight the Jews?
That's
what his role is. He said, you know, he defected. Right? He was ostensibly one of the Plishti Empire. And this is going to be the nail in the coffin. This is going to seal it forever. So Achish shows up with David and his 600 men, and they say, what in the world is this? He was with me either, it's a very interesting translation. Ze yamim means this, you know, if you're a short time, or ze shanim means long time. So which one is it, a long time or a short time? It's only 4 months. And this is like, you know, 20 years. So one could interpret it a number of different ways.
These days means years.
Well, yamim means year, days,
no,
and shanim.
So these days, they're so long.
So but one then would he say, yamim o ze shanim? Why would he say both? Because why?
The days feel like years.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, one could say that it seems like, you know, I trust him. Achish clearly trusts him. Right? Should he trust him?
No.
Right? I mean,
yeah, because he's
from a Chazal point of view, yeah, from a rabbinic point of view, from a traditional point of view, it never should enter our minds that David would ever consider, for a moment, fighting against the Jewish people. Right. Okay? Can we take that for a given? Does anybody want to disagree with that?
No.
Right. It's just not possible. Just because of the person he is, and his people, and whatever. I don't care what Shaul did to him. Mm-hmm. He never would have done it. So,
right, because he had chances before and didn't do it.
Right. So what do you do with Achish? You know,
you know, going up there, knowing that when you know push comes to shove, that he's going to join the Israeli army to fight him.
Achish is bringing him in the middle of the camp. How could the king of the Plishtim be so stupid?
Well, that's
because the king of the Plishtim be so stupid.
Yeah.
I mean.
But that doesn't mean that David's going to...
But there's also, by putting him in the middle of the camp, that's a way of ensuring that he's not going to...
Are you kidding? That is the absolute worst place to be in the middle of the battle. Right?
Right.
Is the enemy infiltrating with 600 extremely battle-hardened soldiers? What?
But
so I'm asking you, how can Achish be so stupid?
I don't think it's stupid. Is this way Achish can keep his eye on David? He's right in the middle of things.
Well, let's see what he says. I've never had a problem with him until now. Right, but you know, what would you say if you're one of his nobles? Did you ever fight a war with his people? You know, like in the mafia, that's how they make sure that you know, you're turned over, right? If you go kill the Fed or whatever it is. Right? But you never know until that actually happens. Right? But you want to be in control at that time. You want to force the hand. It's very strange. I don't have an answer for you. It just seems very naive. So that the minister of the Plishtim, they rebuked him. They got angry at him. And they said, "Hashev et ha'ish v'yashov el mekamo, hashev kadetosham." send him home. V'lo yered imanu b'milchama. He's like, I'm not going to war with him. V'lo yelanu l'satan b'milchama. He's going to be a satan, a satan for us. I mean, he's going to turn against us. Ubama yitratze ze'el adonav. What's the best way for him to get back in with Shaul? Whatever the falling out was, however bad it was, what is the single very best way for him to say, hey, Shaul, I'm back here? What is it? Hello, Barashay Ha'anashim Ha'im. With the heads of those men. What is those men a euphemism for?
Ben.
With us. Right? You know, what's the best way to get Shaul's good graces? Come back with our heads. And what's the best way to come back with our heads? Oh, what do you know?
But what's making them suspicious now? Is there all this time that he's been...
4 months. All what time? He's been hanging out in Chiklag. They don't know him. These guys, look, they're coming from Ekron and Yavne and Gat and Afek. And they're coming from these places. These guys, you know, it's not like the centralized government. Right, it's not like that at all. Everybody, you know, they never heard of him. Who's this guy? You know, they heard of him, but they're like, what's he doing here? Oh, so proud of me, David. He's my good friend now. Your good friend, fine, but not our good friend. You know, forget it. We're not going to fight with him.
He's the greatest warrior that Israel has.
Right. That's what he says. Hello, Zed, David. Asher ya'anu lo b'machalot le'mor. They sing about him. Ya'anu lo. Right. I'll explain a phrase to you that you'll see in a couple of weeks in the Parsha. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and the Jewish people are worshiping the golden calf, right? So the Jewish people are partying. Okay? So it says, so Yoshua says, what is this voice? So Moshe says, lo kol anot gvura. It's not the voice of anot, of calling out, of crying out, of strength.
Ein kol anot chulusha.
Right? Ein kol anot chulusha. Rather, what does he say?
Weak.
Kol anot anishomea. What is anot? Anot is partying, excited, crying out. Kol anot with a, I think, anot, yeah, anulo. So that's anot is calling out. Okay? You learned it? So he
teaches that.
You must have. Yeah, right. Okay. So what are they going to do? He's the David that they said, he cast Shaul ba'alafav, the David b'ruv b'osar. David, Shaul kills his thousands, and David kills his 10,000s. 10,000 what, Achish? 10,000? Us! 10,000 us! 10,000 police team! He killed his 10,000s. Multiple. Are you nuts? You know, between you and me? I got a good point. Yeah, no? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what he says. Vayikra Achish or David. So Achish, you know, what's he going to do? Vayomer Rav Chai Hashem Ki Yashar Ata. I know you're just the greatest guy ever. You are righteous. V'tov be'enai tzeitcha uvo'acha iti b'machane. If it's up to me, David, it would be great. Ki lo masati b'cha ra'a miyom ba'acha elai ad hayom hazeh. It's great how he says it. I haven't found anything bad about you from the time that we got together. Right? Except what doesn't Achish know?
He's been killing off all his men.
Well, not his men. He's been killing off all of his, you know, all the other people, just not Jews. Right. But the nobles, you know, they're not so happy. So, you know, the Sarnim, the ministers, the governors, let's just let it go. So what does David say? The Yomer David al Achish. David says, Ki me asiti. I don't understand. How can you make it? You're taking it out on me. You go take it out on them. You don't trust me anymore. David plays it to the hilt. You know, like, Achish, come on. I mean, you know, we've got the relationship and the bond. And this poor Achish has been totally duped. And he said, yes, I know. I feel terrible about it. I can't believe it, David. But it's, what am I going to do? It's the ministers. It's my board. It's a board decision, right? That's what he says, right?
That's
exactly what I thought. Yeah, right. Well, that's what it is, right? Yeah. Ki lo avo v'ilchamti v'oyvei Adoni HaMelech. You want me? I'm your right-hand man, and I shouldn't come and fight your enemies. I swore allegiance to you, and now you're telling me you can't fight? It's an insult, by the way. A tremendous insult. You know, Achish is basically telling David, if this was serious, if David had really turned against him, if David had really turned on his side, this would have been a huge snub. Mm-hmm. Tell a guy, no, go home. It's a tremendous snub. Right. And it makes you reconsider. David, Yadati, I know. You're like an angel of God. Really, like, three, pours it on. But they said no. They said you can't come, forget it. Yata hashkein b'boker, get up in the morning. V'avdei adonecha asher bo itach. V'ishkamtim b'boker. V'or lachem, you'll get up in the morning. V'or lachem b'alechu. As soon as it's morning, you should go. By the way, very interesting. I just noticed it now, and it's something I'm going to say later. Notice that he says, v'yashkein b'boker. Hashkein b'boker. Where else do you see that kind of language? Okay, Steve.
Abraham before the...
Very good. I was taking this, Steve, about Corey. Very good. Right? Mm-hmm. Abraham at? Correct. Right? Now, when you see language like that, now, obviously, whoever wrote the book was not privy to the exact conversation. When you see it especially like that twice, so your antennae should go up and say, what am I going to see about Abraham here? Okay? And just be aware of it. Now, I'm cheating because I saw the Midrashim already. So now that I saw the Midrashim, I just noticed this now. I've read through it like 3 or 4 times at least, and I never noticed this before now. But that's okay. That's why I'm here. Yud Aleph. Vayashkein David huva anashav lalechet b'boker. So you see, it says 3 times in two psukim. Vayashkein David huva anashav lalechet b'boker. Lashuv aleres pishtim. So they got up in the morning. Uplishim alu Yisrael. Pishtim went up to Yisrael. So they're in Afek. How long would it take to get by foot or by horse from Afek down to Ziklag? 600 men with their stuff. No, they're not rushing anywhere. They're just going home.
Where's Ziklag?
Ziklag is... Let's assume it's 20 kilometers south of Aza. See Aza on the bottommost city in the left-hand corner?
So it might take them 2 days.
Maybe about 80 kilometers.
Yeah, I'm about 80.
We don't see.
If it's 80 kilometers, yeah, about 40 kilometers.
Okay, fine. Pasagawa. I don't have anything else to say about Chavtet. Chavtet is a pretty straightforward parable. Anybody have something to say on it? Something they want they noticed? Have they?
I think the question is just what we haven't answered.
What do you mean?
How
can I be so stupid? You're not going to get an answer. I mean, I'm not going to find it. I didn't, you know. If they ever bothered Chazal when Plishtim were dumb.
I mean,
right. They were, you know, really, I think they were like, you know, that answer's kind of straightforward.
All this time this has been going on, because when I left, the world has been going on, all this time anyway.
It is unusual that a king would not know, meaning the fact what David did, sooner or later, would have to get back. If you're any kind of king, like the hallmark of a king, my understanding, especially in those days, was your job was to know. You know, because if you didn't have some great, a good sense of what was going on in your kingdom, basically,
you're done.
You're dead. Because somebody was always plotting to kill you. You know, so if you don't protect yourself, you're dead. Okay. What's a good example of that, by the way? Achashverosh. In our book, Saul's paranoid. Why are you paranoid? Because it's the law of the land. You know, whoever you know beats the king is the king. So it took him 3 days to get back, or maybe it was the third day. The third day from when they left. The Amaleki pashtu el Negev, the El Chiklag, the Amalekim. The Amaleki were nomadic bands, nomadic tribes. And they spread until the Negev to Ziklag, vayaku et Ziklag, vayishufu ota ba'esh. They smote Ziklag and they burned it with fire. Now, the scene in the movie that I was going to show you that I just forgot about showing you was a while back. Mel Gibson did an American movie called Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there is a scene in that movie that I remember when the British decided they were going to burn down the town. Is this ringing a bell?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he gets back, and you see what kind of reaction would you have when you come back, you're off fighting a war, and you assume that your families are safe. And you get back, and you realize that your families are gone. These families weren't killed, but your city's burned down to the ground. All your stuff is gone. You know, everything you had is gone. What happened? So they didn't know this, but what happened? Vayishbu et hanashim asher ba mikaton ve'ad gadol lo hamitu ish. Okay? Vayishbu means they captured. They took captive all the women. They didn't kill anyone. Vayinhagu vayachu b'darkam. Why didn't they kill anyone?
Take them as slaves?
Ostensibly. They didn't kill anyone, though.
Which makes no sense.
What?
Makes no sense.
Why not?
Because usually there's always going to be somebody that's going to be rebelling. You kill a few people to make an example.
Or?
Take the rest of the slavery.
Or? Keep going. What other reason would you kill somebody?
To show your power.
Show your power. Or? A much more simple reason. And some lady's like too old to keep
so
up. It's not
going to
be worth anything.
You don't have to schlep the people.
Right, you don't leave witnesses. Right, forget it. They took everybody captive. So I have a parish called the Maharikara. Maharikara, let's see who he was. Maharikara. Doesn't say who he was. He says, Vayishbu et hanashim asher bat. You have Maharikara? I don't think you have him. Right, you don't have that? He says, "V'neis na'aseh leDavid ve'anashav shelo hemitum." It was divine. It was divine. What's the word?
Intervention.
Thank you. It was simply a miracle that they were not killed. That's all. Because under no logic of any war, if you have these nomadic bands that are ravaging through cities, they don't take everybody captive. Yeah, they just don't. They kill some people. So it was a neis, which means, what does that tell you?
This is how it's supposed to go down.
Ah.
I mean, it makes sense. The city is gone. David has no place to go now. He has to go and rescue his people and go back to Israel. It's time.
The last thing you said, it would be lovely if that were true, but I'm just going to try to show you that that there's a hand of God in all of this. And we're going to see what the hand of God really is. If God, so obviously, if nobody was killed, that means this whole thing is part of God's plan. If the whole thing is part of God's plan, we have to try to figure out why. Okay? Pasuk. Oh, by the way, what was David's plan for the battle? What was he thinking of doing? He went up to fight, right? What was he going to do?
He's probably going to fall behind the police team.
Yeah.
And sandwich them between himself and Shaul.
Okay.
Slaughter every last one.
And then what would have happened?
He would have prayed to Shaul and to try to slaughter him.
Okay. Yeah. But what would have happened to Shaul?
Shaul probably would have lived.
If David fights,
Shaul lives.
Shaul lives.
Now, how would David know this?
He has no idea.
Oh, okay.
David wants Shaul to live.
Right.
David's a loyal servant of the king. If David doesn't fight, So who put in the minds of the Philistine, how come Achish trusted, but the ministers didn't? Right? All of a sudden, you got to go. Goodbye. Right? But it's not so clear.
It's entirely divine intervention.
Yeah, right. So God does not want David in this play. He wants him out of the play, and he's going to get him involved in something else. Pasuk Gimel, Vayavo David v'anashav el ha'ir, v'hinei srufa v'eis. They get to the city, and it's burned down. V'nishayim uvneihem uvnoseihem nishbu. Their wives are gone, their sons and their daughters are all gone. They know that they're not killed, but they're gone. Also, by the way,
how do they know they're not
killed?
There's no blood, no bodies.
Right. It's clear. No blood, no bodies. If you burn down a city with the people inside, you're fine. Okay? It's very interesting, the reaction. Vayishad
took him somewhere and killed him.
Could be. Right, that's the problem. What did they do? Vayishad David v'ha'am asher ito et kolam vayivku. They raised up their voices and they cried. Ad asher ein v'hem koach likos. They cried and they cried and they cried until they couldn't cry anymore. Very, very interesting pasuk. Why is that an interesting pasuk?
Why would warriors start crying? They're warriors. They're people of action. They're fierce men in battle. And
excellent question.
They're
still people. Yeah, but they still have emotions.
Absolutely, but they're in the middle of a battle. You go into battle mode, and why are you crying? But why are you crying?
They're not fighting at that moment.
What?
They're not, but why would they cry?
Aren't these guys supposed to be tough?
They would look this, so they would do something other than crying.
What's that?
It doesn't make you non-tough.
It doesn't make you non-tough?
But they're people of action, they're not people just to shoot back.
I go to my office, I brought the one yellow piece of paper. Steve came down a yellow piece of paper with a chart on it.
Yellow piece of paper.
Yeah, sorry. Why? It's an excellent question.
What women would be doing.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because David's a man.
Mm.
What do I mean by that?
Real men cry.
Real men cry. No, I'm serious. David is the whole thing. He is so confident in his for lack of a better word, manhood, that he doesn't see it as a thank you, brother. He doesn't see it as a diminishment of himself to express his emotions. What is the greatest expression of David's emotions?
Well,
it's the Book of Tehillim. Right. If David wasn't the emotional person he was,
he
wouldn't be a poet, and he wouldn't be a writer, and he wouldn't be a singer, and he would. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
David is never afraid to show his emotions. Look to Midrash, page 2. Very fascinating Midrash.
But that wasn't his group, or did they take on his?
That's gone from him. Yeah, you know, the leader's not afraid to cry. They cried. It's a little weird, you know. I'm sorry, page 3. Top of page 3. It is written, Lev Yodea Marat Nafsho, the heart knows the bitterness of his soul, lo yi'arev yit'arev zar, and in his joy no one shall also stick their nose in. A stranger doesn't stick his nose in. Zed David. Who's the guy that has the bitterness and also the joy? It's David. When he went to go help Achish, asu sham shloshet yamim. So they were there for 3 days. Ubao amalekim b'shabu nashabu manav v'sharfu es Tziklag. So then the Amalekim came and they burnt down Tziklag.
So excuse me, this entire episode took place over 3 days.
He was gone for 3 days.
That's
doesn't take long to burn down a city. He killed David boche. David began to cry. Shneimar, as we say, v'tzatzal David ma'od. We're going to see that they wanted to kill him. They didn't happen. We're going to see that they saved their families. Here comes Israel. Remember, David is going to come and bring the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, back to its place. Skip down. Second line to the bottom. Makshiv Sham. What does it say? V'David micharker b'chol oz. We're going to learn in the next book, David danced with all of his power. Right? Does anybody remember the story?
Yeah.
Right, when they brought the Aron, he was into it. Right, Michal chewed him out and said, is that how a king acts? And what does he say?
He was like dancing naked in the streets.
Not naked, no.
He was dancing in the streets.
Come on. Yeah, he was dancing in the street. So Michal said, come on, David, Tasnish, you know, you're the king, give me a break. And what does he say to her?
I don't remember the difference.
Yeah, paraphrase it.
No way.
Like, you know what a king is supposed to act like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it says that David never was with her again.
What?
Yeah, ouch. But what is the point of the Midrash? What is the point of the Midrash? Anybody?
I guess that's
just to show the personality of God.
That
he's a man of emotions.
He's a man of emotions. Right? He's not afraid to express his emotions, and you know, and that's why he's a total package. You know, on the one hand, you be a tough guy, tough people. You know, you can be a tough guy, but those tough people, they don't have the ability to then, you know, at other times express themselves and express their emotions and be able to let their feelings come out because they don't know how to balance. But David's got it all. He really does have it all. He's all, you know, that's why he's David Melech Yisrael. That's why God loved him so much. That on the one hand, he felt this unbelievably strong emotional connection to God and to his people. On the other hand, he backed it up. You know, he was able to back it up. So that's why, you know, the crying thing, you're absolutely right, but the Midrash picks up on it. Midrash says, you know, David was a crier.
Yeah, I'm just surprised why they wouldn't go to look for the people instead of just crying until they could. Maybe they did that first, and then they went. There was the chase and
fire. How are you going to look? You're in the middle of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Which way?
You've got 600 people, 200 people that way, 200 that way, 150. 100.
Good. And what happens when 10 guys find them?
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah. Well, how are you going to
call them on their cell phones?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 600 guys. Do you know how big the desert is? You know, what are you going to do?
You follow footsteps.
What?
No,
you can't.
Not after 3 days, I guess.
You know?
Maybe after an hour, you might be able to.
By the time you find them, then what? It's done.
There's only one way you find them.
Ushtein ashe David nishbu. Two wives of David were captured. Achinom Yisraelit. V'Avigail eshet Nabal HaKarmeli. Abinoam and Abigail, the wife of Carmel, Nabal HaCarmeli, I still don't know why she's called Eshet Nabal. I just don't know. Okay. Vaikesha v'David ma'od. Ki ha-muha'am v'shaklo. They were very upset. Vaikesha v'David ma'od. How do you translate that?
David was in dire straits.
David was in dire straits. Why? Because they wanted to stone him to death. Why? Ki mara nefesh kol ha'am ish abanav v'abnosad. They blamed him. Why did they blame him? So you tell me what they said. There's a number of shots in, but simply, tell me what they said.
You took us out of Siklag and now...
You took us out of Siklag, and what else didn't you do? Simple military tactic.
No, you didn't leave a guard.
Yeah, why? You didn't leave a guard. Why didn't you do that? Now, on a spiritual level, what'd they say to him?
Then God should have, you know, watched over them.
What's that?
That Hashem should have watched over
them. Why didn't Hashem watch over them?
Because Hashem planned the whole...
They think their wives and their children are dead. So obviously they think they're being punished, right? Mm-hmm. What are they being punished for?
Following David.
No. Why is David being punished? David's also being punished.
Going against the Jews.
That's right. The subterfuge went so far. God wasn't happy. And now you see what happens. What does it say? Very interesting. Vayitchazek David b'Hashem Elohav. Just very fascinating. David strengthened himself. Remember that the conjugation? Vayitchazek in the Hitpa'el?
Mm-hmm.
He strengthens himself, Bashem Elokav. What does that mean? He strengthens himself with God.
Maybe that he felt like he let them down because of his connection had not been as close as it should have been with Hashem. So
how did he strengthen himself then?
Praying.
By trusting in God.
He had David. You never find it as simple as this. And I think that's also part of the emotions. He had faith in God. He had strength in his faith in God. So he said, increase morale in battle? By winning. So what do you do when you don't win? What do you do when you're faced with a devastating loss? Well,
that's when the coach comes out.
If you don't, yeah, right. If you don't have faith, you're in big trouble. Comes along David, it says, Vayitchazek. It's just very powerful words. Vayitchazek David Hashem Elohim. David found faith in God. He found strength in God, and he persevered. So what does he say? So he says to Abiathar, hold on. Let's see if we can do anything. Hagisha now liha ifod. Remember now, he's got the ifod. Vayagesh Abiathar et ha'ifod el David. So, okay. He brought it. Vayishal David v'Hashem le'mor erdop acharei hagedud hazeh ha'asigenu. Am I going to catch him? Go. Chase after them. Ki ased tasig v'hatzel tatzil. You're going to catch them, and you will save them. Now, interesting. What did David ask?
Should I go,
and
will I overtake them?
Will I catch them? What did the answer come out?
You're going to rescue them.
Not only will you catch them, you'll rescue your own people, too. So he even got answers that he didn't ask for, which is pretty good. I would say go. Okay. Vayelach David hugeshesh minot ish asher ito, vayavo ad hanachal habisor, vahanotarim amadu. They got the Nachal Besor. I could not find a map where Nachal Besor was on there. And the notarim amadu. Some people stopped. They retired. They were just exhausted. They couldn't go on. Vayudov David hu va'arba me'od ish. David came with his 400 men. Vayavu matayim ish asher pigru me'avor ad Nachal Besor. So 200 guys that were pigru. What are pigrim? Anybody know what pigarim are?
Crazy.
Corpses. Pigarim are corpses. So those guys, they couldn't move. They just couldn't move. 200 David men, they stopped. So they find an Egyptian. David. You found it? Nachal.
This is sore.
Is that what it said? We didn't say Nachal Besor. Not sore. Besor.
No.
There's a wadi somewhere. Okay?
I have no idea.
They gave him zela dates, their dried dates. Usnei mukim, two grapes, two raisins, probably prunes or something. So he ate and he became revived. Kilo achal lechem b'lo shata mayim shlosha yamim u'shlosha leilot. 3 days and 3 nights he had gone without food and water. So he was pretty much, He was on his last legs. Right. He was on his last legs. Yamalo David Lemiata the Amizeata. Okay, now tell me, we found you, we revived you, who are you? I'm an Egyptian. Ebel the Ish Amaleki. I was an Amaleki. Vayazveni Adoni ki chaliti hayom shlosha. My master abandoned me because I got sick. Right, what would happen if you got sick in the desert?
You die.
See ya. That was also in Lawrence of Arabia, right? Mm. Either you made it through the desert, and if you didn't make it, they weren't going to get you. That was it. See you later. Anachnu pashatnu negev hakreti v'alasher Yehuda v'alasher negev Kaleb. If you look at page 2, see the map? They went to negev Kreti, negev Yehuda, and negev Kaleb. So we basically have, we cover the Negev region. Mm-hmm. Right? See the Negevs? Negev Yehuda is in big letters, negev Kaleb is in the smaller letters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we cover, our area, our territory is the Negev territory. We're basically marauders and terrorizers. Okay? That was their job. That's what they did. So, what an amazing stroke of luck. Lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, some Egyptian who belonged to an Amalek got sick. Holy mackerel. And wouldn't you know it, 3 days later, after they left him for dead, David finds him. Holy mackerel. What do you know? And it just so happens, they save his life, and it just so happens that he happens to know where they are. Yeah, my love, David, how do you do that? Can you tell me where they are? I can tell you where they are on one condition. Swear you won't kill me. And swear you won't give me back. I'll be happy to take you. You know? Okay, deal. But they were spread out on the face of the plain. Wherever they were probably in some plain. Ochlim v'shoshim v'chogegim v'chol hashalal hagadol. Right? They hadn't just marauded the Philistine, they had marauded Yehuda and Ziklag. And remember, and what had David amassed in Ziklag? He himself had been marauding for quite a while now. So, you know, they got his stuff and everybody else's stuff too. So they were like, you know, we need a break now. You know, look at all the, they probably had an amazing amount of material. But Yakim David, Nehan Neshef, the Adha Arab Lamacharatan. David smote them. Neshef means from the evening. From one evening until the next evening. Is that how the scroll translates it?
Twilight
until the evening of the next day. No one escaped. They had 400 camel guys who got away. But other than that, all dead. So David saved everything that Amalek took. He killed David. He also saved his wife.
Oh, it's interesting to me, talking about the movies, the way you always see battles, you know, they're here, and they just sort of come. How does he know he's not killing his family and his own?
Don't kill any women and children, you're okay.
What about the men?
No, there are no men. No, all the 600 men left. Right. This is like one of those where they're kind of like walking, and they're camped out. They weren't ready for battle, clearly. But they were drunk, probably, a lot of them. You know, they're partying. You know why they're partying? Because they think we're in the middle of the desert. They're never going to find us. And you know what? They were right. Except, of course, it was a big mistake to leave your mystery guy to die. Somebody found him. Oops. Okay. Not one person was missing. The albanim ubanot umishalav v'ada kol asher lakhu lahem hakol hishiv David. He got it all back. Every last penny. Which is nothing short of
miraculous.
Vayikach David et kol hatzon v'habakar, took all the son v'habakar, na'avu lifnei amiknehu v'yamu zeh shalal David. This is the bounty of David. So now all of a sudden, David has not only become a warlord and a leader, he is now also
rich.
He is quite wealthy.
And a hero, too.
He's a hero, he's rich, he's got it all. Right? And by the way, why is wealth important?
So you can pay your army so that you can pay.
You've got to be king. You got to pay. That's correct. By Yavod David al Matayim HaNashim Asher Pigum Melechad Achoy David, so he comes back with the 200 guys. By Yoshivum B'Nachal HaBesor, he sets them down in Nachal Besor. By Yishuli Krat David, B'Krat Ha'am Asher Ito. By Yigash David at Ha'am, by Yishal Lehem HaShalom. Hey, you guys, how you doing? Everything good? Vayanko ish ra'u v'yam ha'nasim asher hukum David. So some not nice people said, Vayamru, Yam asher lo hachuimi, they didn't come with me. V'lo nitam ne'ame ha'shalal asher yitamnu. They didn't come fight. They were too weak. They couldn't go anymore.
Oh, you mean people who went with David were saying...
Yeah, they didn't... I went and I risked my life, and all of a sudden I have to pay them off? Let them take their children and goodbye. See you later. Fine, there's families they can have. They're not getting any money. No way. What God has given us, He has guarded for us. And God gave it into our hands. How do you translate that? Who what?
Who could hearken to you such a thing?
Oh. Ki kechelek hayored b'milchama ukechelek hayoshev al kelim yachdav yachloku. Split. Equal. Vayhine hayom hahu b'mala from that day on vayishineh lechok u'mishvav b'Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to stop here because we have to now figure out what in the world is going on. Why? I mean, it's a very fascinating story. You know, to be honest, I didn't remember this story. The last time I learned Shmuel was, you know, like fifth grade or whatever it was. I didn't realize that David's whole family and all the families were captured, and he had to go fight the Amalekim, and he took them back. What in the world is going on? Like, what is this story? In addition, what is this story doing in the middle of the story about Shaul? It's very nice. That all the stuff happened to David, and we'll learn about it later. Why do I need to know about it now? Why do I need to interrupt the story about Shaul? You know, we have the whole story about him and the lady. Stop. Learn about David, and then what's the next chapter? What's the last chapter going to be? Death of Shaul. Right? Next week, I'm sorry for ruining the story for you, if you didn't know already. Shaul dies next week. Okay? For those of you who haven't read ahead, you know, a spoiler. I'm sorry. I don't know.
People are going to ask, where was David when Shaul died?
Okay.
That's on the
most simple level, they're going to ask where Shaul died. But in order to answer this question, we're going to see, I want to show you that the Navi is actually contrasting, giving you a fascinating contrast between Shaul and David. Now, what I would ask you to do is turn to page 4. We're going to fill out this chart. I got pens. Take one, pass it on.
Take it all.
You will need your nubby, maybe. Okay. I came up with seven categories in which Shaul and David are contrasted. In the last two, well, not in the last two chapters, but in general, okay, specifically through these last two chapters, and maybe you'll come up with more. Communicating with God. Last chapter, Shaul needs to communicate with God. What does he do? Right, he turns to idolatry. Okay.
Turns to idolatry.
What does David do?
He got an
answer. He uses the ephod. What did Shaul try? Shaul also had an ephod. You know, maybe it was a knockoff. I have no idea. You know, he bought this in Taiwan. I don't know how he got an ephod, to be honest with you. Where did he get the other ephod? You know, but it's interesting. David, he asks the ephod, but not just ask the ephod. Shaul, when he asks the ephod, what answer does he get?
He gets an answer.
So, nothing. Nothing. And what does David get?
Everything.
Not only does he get the answer, you know, God tells him where to buy a, you know, a good burger. You know, it's like, come on. What else can I give you? Right. Two answers from the April. What I'm trying to show you, it's a strong contrast. Remember, Shaul asks from the ephod exactly the same. And David asks from the ephod. Okay? Works?
What was David? David uses the ephod?
To get answers. And Shaul turns to idolatry. And Shaul turns to forbidden idolatry.
And no
response to adversity. What does Shaul do when he encounters adversity?
He blames
Why?
Somebody else.
What?
He blames other people. He blames other ones.
Okay.
Like when he did a sacrifice. He didn't wait for Leo for, I mean, for Senate.
It's interesting that you say that. But in this specific case, what does he do when the police team are difficult to him? The reason I'm contrasting this is, remember the language. Do you remember the language that Shaul used when he said, I don't know what to do? Sarli Ma'od. Remember, so you write that down when you say response to adversity. Write down Sarli Ma'od next to that. Sarli Ma'od. Did you notice similar language in our parak? Anybody notice it? Should have hit you. Bradley?
Yeah, where did it say it? It said,
Sarli Ma'od means I'm very pained. Okay. By the way, what did Shaul use Sarli Ma'od to justify?
The adultery.
Right. So Samuel says, what are you doing? You know, why are you calling me like this?
So,
and what does Saul say? Saul says, Sarli Ma'od. So how does Saul respond to adversity to Sarli Ma'od? He does what he needs to do to get it done. Okay, brace the law. Where is the touch of the David Ma'od? Where is it, Bradley?
When they get back to...
Where, what pasuk? Show everybody else. Pasuk Vav in our chapter. They get back to Tiklag. Vatechar the David Ma'od. Exactly the same language. Sar, so you can see the root. Sar, David, Ma'od. He also, David didn't know what to do either. How does David respond to adversity? Vaychazek David Vashem Eloka. That's the answer. He finds strength through his faith in God. See who I am, Pasuk Vav? It's the same language. And when you see something like that, Sala Miriam mode.
I got so excited, I just...
I don't think the water's going to keep the lung down.
What
does
that
say? I'm not helping, I know, sorry.
It only hurts my lung.
Okay, so it says, what did David do? Vayit Chazek, see the end of the passage? Vayit Chazek, David, Vashem, Eloka. Vayit Chazek, David, Vashem, Eloka. And to David, it was the same language of Batechar, the David mode. Right, that I actually did notice. See how it's the same language? Ma'od, ma'od. Okay, fine. Next, emotion. So David, we already know. Right, what does David do? He's like emotion man, right? Total emotion man.
Cries
out. Emotion man. He's a crier. Okay? How do you spell crier?
C-R-I-E-R.
Thank you. He's a crier. Okay. What about Shaul? Brad, do you have a sheet for Leslie?
Yes.
What happened? We had a midrash. What?
Latest ones are in front.
We had a midrash last week, chapter 28. Okay? If you recall, after Shmuel says to him, basically you're a dead man. Okay? So turn back for 1 second to chapter 29. I'm sorry, 28. 28, yeah. 28. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. What page are you on?
184.
So Shmuel, when Pasuk Yud Tes, in verse 19, says, okay, basically, so I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're dead. Now, tomorrow you're with me. What does that say? 20. Vayimaher Shaul vayipol moloko maso archa. Vayira ma'ol midivrei Shmuel. He quickly bowed down. And he was very afraid. Listen to what the Midrash says. Listen to what the Midrash says. Very fascinating. I think we went through this minute. Amrullah Abner Amasa. So Abner and Amasa, they don't hear, remember, they don't hear what's going on. They can only see Saul talking to the wall. Ma'amar Hashmuel. What did he say to you? Amar Lahem. He said to me. He said to them, Amar Li, Lamachar At Nachit Lekrava V'Nitzeach. He says, tomorrow, he said to me, tomorrow you're going out to war and you're going to win. Hmm. Now, what's the only way Shaul could pull that off?
He does it there.
No. Think about the state of mind of Shaul. Right, he hears what's going to happen. It's clear something happened. He immediately bows down. So they say, who? What'd he say? He says, he looks to them and he says, he told me we're going to win tomorrow.
Positive thinking.
Shaul is in control. What would David have done? What would David have done? Oh my God! I can't believe it! What does Saul do? He turns to his gentleman and says,
"Everything's
fine. It's cool. It's good. We're good." All right, and then he like collapses the weakness and all that. But it struck me, like, if David is a man of emotion, Saul is a man of reason, of logic, and of control. And both of those contrast to each other. I swear to God.
I don't think his show is a man of,
At that moment, okay, I threw it in there.
Pretty neurotic, if you
ask. I threw it in there. You could take it or leave it, okay? That's not a big one. I swear to God. What did Saul swear to God? Remember?
We pointed out. He said to the necromancer.
Right, he said to the lady, I swear to God that nothing will happen to you for basically, you know.
Breaking God's
laws. Breaking God's laws, punishable by death. Very good. What does David swear to God? This is interesting. The small details that are in the parak. See if you noticed it. Where does David swear to God here in our parak?
Is it where he says about the giving equal money to everyone?
Nope. So I'm going to leave that as a question mark for you there, I mean, because you don't like the emotion thing. I swear to God. Joel swear to God not to kill the freak lady. Okay. Where did David swear to God? See if you can find it. It does not say explicitly that he did. You have to find it.
I didn't think it said explicitly.
No, it doesn't say explicitly. How much time was it? Okay. Ah, who's he talking to? Who's talking there? What pasuk are you in? Tesvav in chapter, okay, pasuk 15 in chapter 30. Right? He says to the Mitzri guy, can you show me where your bosses are? And the guy says, if you swear not that by your God that you won't kill me. Right, when does David swear by his God? He clearly did.
He didn't kill him.
Right, but when does David invoke God's name? When he's doing something honorable.
Make a promise.
Right, when he makes a promise. As opposed to swearing that he's not going to kill somebody who's violating the Torah. Right, I just noticed that because Shaul, we pointed out, swore to God, and here also he just throws in, Hishabali be'elohim. You know what I'm saying? It's just a very similar kind of oath. That's what I meant by in the fight. In the fight. Battle. Oh, yeah. Right? What kind? In the battle itself, which we haven't seen about Shaul, right? What's going to happen to Shaul in the battle? He's going to die, right? He can't win a regular war. Right? What are the odds? You don't really know what the odds are, but should Shaul be able to win? Right?
Probably, yes.
Yeah. And what about David in his battle with the Amalekim?
He was outnumbered and he won superbly.
Yeah, it takes out he had 400 guys. Listen, 400 guys. Why 400? Because the other 200 literally collapsed from exhaustion. So how battle ready are the other 400?
They can't be that far behind.
Right, exactly. And they're an overwhelming victory with not one loss. And they wiped out the entire enemy. That's pretty impressive. Okay? So Saul can't win a regular battle, and David wins with the Knicks. See what I meant by the nature of the battle? Ah, okay. The last two are a little bit more sophisticated. Okay? The nature of the battle, look at it this way. The nature of the battle is as follows. Look at page 2. This is from Rav Ariel. Avigal Ariel, he writes books on, beautiful books on Navi.
Full page?
What? Page 2. Shezav Ariel, so powerful. Ba b'sha'a sheshamu omeid al nafsho b'Gilboa. At the very moment that Shaul is standing for his life in Gilboa, v'ne'enash al yidei amaleki. Shaul, why is he being punished? Why is Saul going to die? Bottom line, brass tacks, why is Saul going to die? Nobody can tell me?
Because
he didn't kill the Amalekim. Remember,
in the very beginning.
It all starts from the fact that Saul never killed the Amalek. He didn't fulfill God's commandment.
So Amalek takes David
away
from the battle.
So Saul is now going to pay the ultimate price because of what happened with Amalek. Ne'elak David lehilachem betotzaot cheto ze ulehaznachato. David has to go battle the results of Saul's mistake. Think how powerful that is. Saul is now going to his death with the Philistine because of Amalek. And who is David fighting? David's fighting the results of his sin and Amalek. David nilcham ba'amalek milchemet chorma. David fights and beats Amalek totally. He shlim et ha-mitzvah. He completed the mitzvah of Shaul. V'shagar et ha-ma'agal ha-histori ha-gadol. Very powerful. David closed the historical, that great historical circle. Why? The thing that Shaul's going to die for, David's going to finish. That's the nature of the battle. Saul is going to fight a battle. He's going to die for his sin with Amalek. And David's going to finish the battle and complete Saul's mitzvah that he could not complete. Last one. View of the war with Amalek. So I don't really have time to go through this. But if you recall, and you look back, right? When Saul beat Amalek, what was the one thing God says to him? You should look it up. Chapter 15, I think. The one thing God says to him is, you have to kill everyone, and what else do you have to do? Do you know anybody remember?
Kill all the animals.
Burn it all. Destroy it all. And what does Saul do? He doesn't kill Achish and
saves
the animals. Which means, says Rav Ariel, that bottom line, even though Saul was explicitly fulfilling God's commandment, whose war did he think it was in the end?
His
battle. Right. He sees it, God asked me to go, but it's my decision. I'm not going to waste all this good food. I mean, there's steaks in those cattle.
No, but more important, it's just carbon.
Right. No, it wasn't just carbon.
It
wasn't just carbon.
Part of it, but it was probably what he's looking for.
On the other hand, what happened when David fights Amalek? What's he fighting for, really? What motivates the fight?
To get
his people back. So it's really about himself. Except when we look at the shalal, at the booty, at the stuff that's left over, what does David say to these people? They say, oh, we fought. We should keep it.
No,
what does David say?
Everyone.
Why? Why? Why does everybody get it? Look what he says. The end of the chapter. Verse 23. Chaf Gimel. Vayomer David. Lo ta'asu kein achai. No way. Et asher natan Hashem lanu v'yishmor otanu. You think that you won this war? You think that you fought that battle? It was God's fight and God's battle. And if it's God's fight and God's battle, everybody gets it. We don't exclude. So David is motivated by personal reasons, and even though he's motivated by his own personal reasons, it's really God's fight. So it's so interesting. It's such a powerful contrast, the contrast between David and Saul. But on the one hand, God, we said, brings all the events together. It was really the hand of God to pull David away from saving Saul in a physical way, to motivate him to go fight to save Saul in a spiritual way. That while he can't save his life, he can save his legacy. He can't save him from the battle with the Philistine, but he can save him in the mitzvah of Amalek. And he can close the circle and finish the mitzvah and end Saul's life for him on a positive note.
That's very cool.
Very powerful stuff. Okay. Next week, something's going to happen. I don't want to give it away.